Pony Zone Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rony Zone Radio number 23. The hits on the website are up, the downloads are up, and I want to encourage you to continue to spread the word about Rony Zone Radio. Let people know that it's a very different podcast, that it has a lot of different interests and a lot of varied topics and subjects. Thank you. This time on Rony Zone Spotlight, we're going to talk about annoyances. This is going to be the first of, I think, three different little sections we're going to talk about annoyances. The first one I'm going to talk about is if you call any company anymore, you're going to find what they call AVR, Automatic Voice Response System. And if you've called a hospital or a store or even now when you call to get a phone number, you have these recordings that sense your what you're saying, and it gets frustrating, especially when you're calling something about an insurance payment or about something in the hospital or something like that, where you have these different recordings listening to what you're saying. And at CNN, they did a story about this, and people just got crazy mad and just cursing and all that. We don't recommend that you curse. But anyway, there are a number of ways to get around things, to get to the party that you need to get to. Basically, when you start getting these recordings, the only thing I always want is a person. I just want to talk to a real person, because sometimes these choices that you get, you don't want. You don't need these choices. You want to talk to a person about an issue that isn't in the list of the choices that you have. So on the show notes, they're going to be a little shorter this time, but I'm going to put up a couple of links, at least one, to a website that a guy made that lists a bunch of different companies and their AVR system. And what he does is he lets you know how to get past all the recording to a real person. So I hope you appreciate what this guy has done. It's amazing stuff, and that you'll go to the show notes and check it out. Thank you very much. Well, I don't know if you're loving this discussion as much as I am. The more I listen farther into it, just the better it gets. And we're really uncovering some important issues and bringing some things to light that are just so important. And whether you're a Christian or not, these are important issues that we're talking about. And so I hope that you just continue on in this, on this discussion about YouTube, Inside and Out. Wide Awake in America. I think just that name, I'm Wide Awake in America, because there's plenty of people that are asleep still.
Right.
And, you know, even if they're Christians, they just kind of put it in neutral. I'm going to coast to heaven, bless God, when there's people all around you that are dying.
Sadly, I think a lot of them are like little ostriches with their little heads mm-hmm. buried in the sand. And as long as they keep their head buried in the sand, they won't have to deal with anything else. And that'll just tide them over until it's time to go to heaven.
I am going to go on record and say that God will call us into account, not just for our sin or what we do, but our time spent on earth. Mm-hmm. What did we do for our brothers? What did we do for our sisters? What did we do for the people? Did we care? Or did we just care for ourselves? Or the churches that care just about the color of the carpet? Whether there's coffee in the morning. What did you care about? Oh, we want to save souls. You want to save souls that look nice that come into your church. What about the bums that are out in the street? Do you care about them? Questions to be answered. And I think they will be asked one day. And they'll be answered, too.
Because you know what I think the unfortunate reality is with most churches, maybe to kind of speak on their behalf in a little bit of defense here, because that is a very startling question to ask. What did you do? What about these people? How did you treat them? I think that the unfortunate reality is that most churches have the mentality of, well, you know, the church in the corner, I know they've got this ministry, so they'll take care of them. Mm-hmm. Or the Catholic church is really good about this, so they'll take care of them. Or that church is very good about, they're very strong in this, so they'll take care of them. We don't have to worry about it. And I think even if you kind of dial it down even one more level, people in the church go, well, the pastor will take care of it, or the board will take care of it, or so-and-so will take care of it. It's never on a personal level. It's, well, I've got my own things to deal with. Mm-hmm. We're very selfish creatures.
That's right.
I hate to say it, but we are. And it's so sad because we were put on this earth for one purpose, in my opinion. People can argue this with me all day long, but I still believe that I'm right. There's no need to search for the meaning of life out there. It's one word, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We were put on this earth because God wanted to have relationships with us.
Mm-hmm.
We were put on this earth to have relationships with each other. That's it.
Right.
It's a theme throughout the Bible. It's a theme throughout history, and there's no getting around it. You cannot be an island unto yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with people, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. That's what it's all about.
Kim.
Yes.
Tell me about the story in the Bible about the feeding of the 5,000. Kind of recount to me the kind of the steps of that story.
Not the one with the fishes and the loaves.
That's
the
one.
With the little boy, the
That's
other
the
one?
One. Okay.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, it was the one where, you know, Jesus had been preaching. It was hot, and the disciples said, "These people are hungry." Do you remember what Jesus said?
Feed them.
He said...
What did he say?
He said, you feed them.
Yeah, you feed them.
You feed them. Now, let's talk about that statement. What did that statement mean, Colleen? What did it mean?
Don't expect somebody else to take care of people when you have the means and the resources and the ability, and you should have the compassion to do so yourself.
Hmm. Okay.
It's not somebody else's job. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's job.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't single out one of the disciples. He said, you feed them.
Mm. That's good.
It was a collective you, not just, hey, you, Peter, or hey, you, John, or hey, you, Andrew. It was you all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say in Texas, y'all need to feed them yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, I would also say that they had seen Jesus perform miracles before.
Correct.
Probably wasn't a shock to see Jesus perform miracles.
No.
He was also training them to be disciples, to go out and share. And when they went out and shared, one of the stories was they came back to him and they were marveling how the demons were obeying the commands that they were praying for people. They were just amazed that the demons obeyed them, okay? So there was some modeling, and Jesus gave them authority to do what needed to be done. So I would imagine that I think Jesus gave them a little assignment. You feed them. And, you know, and the first thought is, well, we don't have enough food. You know, I think at that point, they were just kind of stymied. But I'm telling you, if they would have found that loaves and fishes, and I believe that if they knew enough to pray, it could have happened. But, you know, no, they go, oh, what do you mean, Jesus? Okay. All right, go find some food.
I know this is a little bit slightly off topic. It does relate to what we were just talking about, the story we're talking about. But a thought just popped into my head. Having been a trainer myself and knowing that both of you are trainers, when you train somebody to work on the system that you train them on, the whole purpose of that is so that they can do the job which they were hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what do you need them for if you're going to do it yourself?
That's true.
That's so true.
So Jesus training the disciples was because what would he need them for if he was just going to do it himself?
That's
what would be the point?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And I think we forget that we are being trained to do those things and even more instead of letting Jesus do it for us.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a great thought. The bottom line to this is I think just go with me here. When Jesus said that, I think it reverberated through time to Bono's ear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bono said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I know what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this whole thing began to come together, I think he said, I'll answer the call. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feed and clothe the poor. If you do it to the least of me, you've done it. Yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. And that began the change in the band. And I think in Bono as well, is he found a Jesus in the Bible that gave him a part to play. He had a part in this story of the gospel. It wasn't just, we'll get somebody to kneel down and accept Christ and leave him alone. No. Are they hungry? Are they hurting? Do they need something? Meet their needs. That's what James is all about. He said, if you just say, be warm and filled, pat them on the head and walk away. He said, that's not it. You need to feed them. You need to give them what they need. So we see a change. And Bono picks up the banner and says, I will carry the banner of Christ. I will feed them. I will care for them. I will share my faith. Now, it's a bit unconventional because it's a rock star. He's not a pastor.
Nope.
He's not a deacon. He's a rock star. Mm-hmm. But he's using his celebrity to share God's love. He sings about God's love because if he sang about Christianity... This is an editor's note, and I just wanted to clarify something, is that earlier in this discussion we were talking about how people see the face of Christianity as televangelists, because they're on TV, they're out there, they're in the news saying things, they're on Larry King, whatever. So a lot of people feel that the face of Christianity is the televangelist. Now, when I mention that Bono doesn't want to mention Christianity per se, because if he did, then that same face of Christianity would come up in people's minds. And that's why I mention these televangelists in this next section I talk about. Then Jimmy Swaggart would pop up, or Jim Baker would pop up, or Robert Tilden would pop up. He didn't want that.
Right.
He wants the pure love of God. And if you have the love of God, it's going to draw you mm-hmm. to Jesus. And you'll get the Bible and the truth, too. You'll get it all.
Well, and then that brings up a good point, too, because when you're talking about love, I mean, when we think of Christ, he was out there. His message was open to everybody.
Right.
And this concept of love, God's love for the world, I mean, who doesn't want to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a Muslim wants to hear that. A Jewish person wants to hear that. A Christian wants to hear that. Hindu, maybe, or maybe somebody completely outside of the concept of one God. So everybody wants to hear
you're leaving, about love. You're leaving a word out, though. You keep saying the same word.
What?
They want to hear love.
Yes.
They don't want to hear love. They want to feel it.
They want to see it. Exactly.
They want to see it.
That's exactly right.
They want to see a tangible mm-hmm. way that God loves them. And the way that they can take it away is if they see it and they feel it. There's a quote in the New Time magazine. Bono is one of the persons of the year. And he says, I try and live out the gospel. He said, because there's too many Christians that are talking and they sound like a bunch of used car salesmen. See, the talking's done. See, the world is heard talking. And they want to see it. And they want to feel it. And that will change them.
That was one of the things I think that probably impacted me most about this book, about them. And not, again, I want to reiterate too what Jeff said earlier, is it's not that we worship Bono or U2 or proclaim them to be the end-all be-all of existence.
Right.
That's not it. But the point is they get it, and they got it a lot sooner than I did. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the church. I've been going to church for 35-plus years. And I just this year, fairly recently, realized that everything I'd been taught was good, but it wasn't good enough in my book. It wasn't what I needed to be taught. I wasn't encouraged to show love to people. As long as I looked right, as long as I went to church on Sundays, went to church midweek on Wednesday nights, as long as I said the right things, wore the right clothes, listened to the right music, I was okay. And it was all about me. Mm-hmm. All about, as long as I'm doing okay, I have nothing else to do, I have nothing else to fear. But you know what? The point is it's that whole, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And Bono gets that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is probably one of the most recognized persons on the entire planet. You say Bono, and 99% of the people you talk to are going to know who you're talking about. That man doesn't point everything back to himself. Oh, he's got his little ego points every once in a while. We all do. But he's trying so desperately to use that, not for his own glory, for his own gain. He's trying to do it so that he can teach the world about compassion.
Mm-hmm.
That just blows my mind. Here's a person who is probably one of the most famous people on the planet. You see a picture of him, you know who he is. You hear his voice, you know who he is. He is not only telling people that it's important to be involved in these things, he's actually going out and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to teach them why
mm-hmm.
it's important to feed the poor, why it's important to erase debt and get rid of AIDS. And I don't think I've ever once heard him ever talk about AIDS being a gay disease. I don't think I've ever heard him talk about that. And it's just a disease that is affecting people, and it is a horrible thing that needs to be eradicated.
Right.
Doesn't matter why, doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. That's irrelevant. It just needs to be done. And he's willing to do whatever it takes, and he's teaching people that this is how they need to be. He's portraying Jesus to people far more than some of the most eloquent preachers I've ever heard.
Yep. Wow. Okay. That's my wife. I want to say this too, is that I also grew up in a church, and there's a lot of times where, you know, they would have a group that would go on a mission trip, and it was pretty much the same group, you know, and it was asked, does anybody want to go? You know, but there was always the same group of people. Mm-hmm. What I love about Bono, and he says, you need to give some money. You need to care about AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really care about AIDS? Do we?
I think most people don't.
I think most people
figure it's not that big of a deal anymore.
I agree. And I think that when he draws a parallel with how it's leprosy today,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of really brought it home for me when I was reading that in the book. Because my idea of AIDS, I've always been able to put it outside of my mind because it's a disease that hasn't affected me on a close relational level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody who has contracted HIV or who has died from it. And so I've been able to keep myself removed from it to a certain degree and have told myself if I do certain things or don't do certain things, then I won't get it myself. That's been about the extent of my thought when it comes to HIV. That and the knowledge that Africa is now being consumed by it.
Right.
You know, but as far as me on a personal level feeling like I needed to reach out and do something about it, I've never been convicted until reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That it's a part of loving my neighbor. They're my neighbor.
Right.
You know, anybody, everybody is my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that really hit home with me and really caused me to look a lot within myself and say, okay, you know, my thinking on this, completely wrong. And my inability, that's only led to my inability or me not doing anything about it and me kind of having my head stuck in the sand about it, because if it's stuck in the sand, then if I hear it, if I don't hear it or I don't see it, then it's not there. And that's just not true. It's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to get worse.
Kim, what does John 3:16 say?
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
God so loved who?
The world.
Well, this brings us to the end of another Roni's Own Radio. I know it's a sad thing, but we invite you to stop by the website, jrdonline.com. Check it out. Take a look around. There's links. There's Tatooine TV, Revenge of the Sox. There's all the Roni's Own Radios available for download. So check it out. Also, drop me an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. There's also a link on the first page of the website to send me an email. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about these subjects that we're bringing up. These are controversial subjects that really either you respond pleasantly to it or not so pleasantly. So I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know if this is meaningful to you at all. This is a great band, and there's a lot of things that we're talking about surrounding this band and just for life in general. So thank you again for listening. This is Jeff Roni signing off.
Roni's Own Radio.